You're listening to a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, dedicated to bringing podcasters together for the greater good of gaming. It's sort of like Voltron, but with better lip syncing. Find out more at dicetowernetwork.com.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of the Family Gamers Podcast. This is episode 143.
Apparently, 143 is slang for I love you.
Oh, well, that's very nice. I love you.
I love you too.
All right, perfect. Now that we got that out of the way, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Family Gamers Podcast. I am your host, Andrew. As always, I am joined by my lovely and wonderful wife, Anitra.
That's me.
Well, 143, it turns out, is an odd number. That means we have an odd number of hosts, and that odd host out is an odd one indeed. This is getting very odd. We have on the other end of the line, Joe Cummings from Art of Board Gaming. How are you doing, Joe?
Hey, I'm doing well and odd. Hey, if the shoe fits, I'll wear it. That's for sure. It's a pleasure to be with you guys.
Oh, and Pod Pledge supporter.
Yes, one of the original.
Yes, of course.
And we are very thankful for that. So, have you been on the show before? I was trying to think about this and figure out if you've ever been on the show. Anitra says you've never been on the show before.
I have never been on the show. I have a professional podcast guest in my Twitter bio. I have that there because I've been a guest once. And so I'm trying to get more on there. So, hey, I'm a moron. That works. Okay. When you offered the opportunity, I jumped at the chance because now I can increase my resume of podcast guesting. And you guys have
helping you make that a reality.
Yeah.
Yes.
You have one of the podcasts I subscribe to. I'm currently three episodes behind. You guys. And so it's great to be here.
Ones, so.
All right. Well, thank you again for coming on the show. So you do a lot of really cool stuff. Like, as we get through this show, I think the people that are listening are going to realize that in some ways they want to be like Joe.
And in a lot of ways, you don't trust me.
So I mentioned Art of Board Gaming. Can you talk about that? Talk about what you do with that? What it is? What is it? What is Art of Board Gaming?
Sure. So Art of Board Gaming is a website I started 2 or 3 years ago. It is currently on a bit of a hiatus. I'm hoping to relaunch it for its next season within a couple of months. Some of the things that you might be talking about are why it's been put on pause. My wife and I sold our house and moved into an RV and we're traveling the country. So with that came a lot of upheaval and a lot of trying to figure out where things fit in the schedule. I hope to bring it back within a few months, trying to retool it a little bit. Obviously on the road, I can't get my hands on as many games to do things with, which is fine, because I'm more topical anyway than reviewing. So it will be back. The thing I have the most fun, though, with is my Instagram channel, just trying to get games on a table, take a bunch of artsy photos with them, artsy in my definition at least, and put them up there for the world to see.
So you mentioned that you are a lot more topical on the website / blog.
Yes.
And you've written about a lot of interesting things. What are the kind of things that you write about?
Well, so I'm topical because there's a lot of great reviewers out there. And I realized after listening to a bunch of podcasts that if I reviewed the number of games that people review in a year, that I would get sick of gaming in a hurry. I don't have the bandwidth or the game groups. I've never had the game groups to get that number of gameplays in to get good quality reviews over and over. So that's kind of why I went the topical route. As far as what topics I cover anything from my most controversial post about keeping politics out of board gaming to why my wife hates board games. Let's see.
Wait. You think the politics one is more controversial than the
wife
one?
Than the why I hate dice. You know what? You're right. The why I hate dice, though, did not get me unfollows on social media. The politics one got me quite a few unfollows on Twitter.
Wow.
Okay.
You're right. I had an initial post that was why dice should not be in strategy games. I have since written not a retraction, but I called it a mitigated opinion on dice, where I kind of went through and pointed out some games with dice that changed a little bit my opinion on it, but I'm still...
I was glad to be part of the changing of Joe's opinion.
Yeah. Yes.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yes. No, you were, for sure. but otherwise, Roll and Move to me is still very much like Anitra's opinion on Candyland.
You're not wrong.
Just don't like it. So yeah. Yep. See, the importance of being a good winner and a good loser... is it time to ban cell phones from game night? That's an important one for me. That's one I like. Talked about filler games, and I've even had the chance to get some copies from some publishers. Like Stonemaier sent me a couple games, and I asked him, and he was very Jamie Stegmaier was very, very willing for me to write topical articles using his game kind of as a backdrop. So he sent me Between Two Castles of Mad King Ludwig, and I wasn't able to get enough plays of it in quickly enough to do a review within his time frame. But I just did one that about how the expectations in the hobby are changing when it comes to things like game inserts. When you have games like that come out that have spectacular inserts, and pretty soon you're seeing everybody on Twitter saying every game should have an insert like this.
Mm. I read that one and I completely agree. Well, I mostly agree, because we talk a lot about kids' games here.
Yes. Yep.
Having an insert's not always helpful.
Right.
Well,
right.
And not every insert can be as spectacular.
Sure.
Not every game is capable of having an insert of pulling it out of the box and you can just start playing it. Some games just have more complexity to them, to the setup, that you just wouldn't be able to do that. But
I've found, while we're on the subject, that my opinion of inserts has actually changed a lot
pretty dramatically
over the years. I remember when I first bought Lords of Waterdeep, for example.
I knew this was coming.
And I opened that box. Do you or have you previously owned, or have you seen the insert for Lords of Waterdeep?
I have not, actually. I've only played Lords of Waterdeep twice in a digital space.
Okay. So the insert for Lords of Waterdeep is this kind of, I mean, it's this, you know, vacuum molded plastic thing, but there's a spot for every single piece, and it just, as an engineer, having a home for every single piece just feels right.
Yes, so for sure.
Until I looked at it a little bit more critically and realized that the way they do this is by hiding this massive amount of empty space behind the insert. And so, you know, I went all, you know, splendor analysis on all of my inserts. and you know what I mean when I say that.
I absolutely do.
And so I kind of took that and now I'm... 9 times out of 10, I'm a take the insert out and throw it away kind of guy.
Yeah, same here. I think the old Colosseum with Days of Wonder had a similar insert, must be, to Lords of Waterdeep, because it's very similar. It has a space for every little thing, but it's not easier to set up because of that. Neat in the box.
Yeah, I have the game that we got in for review most recently that has what I would qualify as some of the best inserts in the world is Dice Throne Season 2.
Yes.
Because there are, in the whole Season 2, there are 8 characters that you can play as, and every single, if you get the battle box, which has all 8 of them, if you open the box, there are 8 individual, basically, packages, one for each character.
Okay.
And so you,
nice.
Yeah. You know, and the way they were game trays inserts, and the way they did them was, it's a generic insert, but it fits every character's pieces, even though some of the characters have slightly different shaped pieces. They did a fantastic job with that. And I've absolutely gone to the player start allocation model of board game inserts, or bagging is the way to go.
Oh, yeah. Having something set up already where you can just hand it to a person and say,
here's your starting stuff. You're done.
Yes. Yep. Believe it or not, I even did that with Scythe. All my Scythe stuff is in baggies.
I can believe it.
So hang on. I want to sidetrack for a second. Since you were one of the vital people to help change my opinion on dice, currently my review of Dice Throne would be the only good thing of this game is the insert. So
Dice Throne is like Yahtzee and yes. Magic the Gathering had a baby.
Yes, I think that's fair, having never played Magic the Gathering. So I played it, okay. And I mm-hmm. think I've only played it once and I had a terrible experience with it. So tell me why I should have a second chance, and I'll give you the, and I think I know why, but I'm not sure. I played a 6-player game of it.
Okay, so I've only played Dice Throne 2-player, and I enjoy it at 2 players.
Okay.
Quite a lot. And the reason why is because I used to play Magic when I was younger, and I have neither the time nor the patience to play, nor the money, really, to play Magic anymore. Like, I would go to a sealed deck tournament where you walk in and you get handed a deck of cards, you open it, you make a deck, and you play, and that's it. But, like, I'm not spending, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars on, you know, cards. It's not happening.
Okay.
So, for me, Dice Throne, it has enough of that dueling experience to it where it kind of scratches the Magic itch, but it's simple enough that I can play it with my 8-year-old.
That makes sense. So right. I think I will give it another shot with somebody I know at a 2-player, but I want to know if you ever play it as 6-player teams. So 6 players, mm-hmm. 2 teams of 3, let me know what you think.
It'll be interesting to see it at higher player counts and how that changes the game. Cause it definitely will change the game. Absolutely. 100%. It also depends on who you play as.
Yeah.
Because in season 2, they introduced a character called the Tactician. And so you've played Dice Throne, so you know that depending on how you line up your dice, you can get these tokens that you mm-hmm. can then use for various things. Well, the Tactician has kind of a generic token that he can stack a lot of and use them for all sorts of different things.
Gotcha.
And I really love the flexibility of that kind of thing. And so I had a lot of fun with the Tactician. I also played as the Vampire Lord. She was fine. Like, she did stuff and it was okay. But I loved playing as the Tactician because I like the ability to say, I could do this. It also was a lot more strategic than a lot of the other characters, which are just, let's see what I end up getting out of my dice and then make a decision based on that. Because you're basically accruing all this power that you can then allocate out the way you want to, which is a much more strategic thing. So, like, for you, where you would benefit from a way to mitigate the luck of dice because of your preferences, which is totally cool, that like that character might actually work out really well for you.
Okay. So I'll have to try the Tactician and I'll have to try 2 players.
You can try it when you come over.
Sounds good.
In 4 months.
We'll plan on it. Sounds good.
All right. Okay. Awesome. So that was my impromptu review of Dice Throne, I guess. So talk about the RV thing a little bit. So you bought an RV, you got it fixed up so that you could like live in it and not just vacation in it.
Yeah.
And you're doing a bunch of blogging with your wife. Like, talk about all that stuff. That's cool stuff. That's the stuff, by the way, where I look at it and I'm like, man, that would have been cool if I did that. That would have been
so fun. Yeah, we decided that we wanted to do what a lot of people talk about doing. We talked about it for quite a while. Kaylin was way on board with it long before I was. She wanted to be able to pick up and travel the country. I was like, only hippies travel in RVs. And so either I have adopted that moniker now or other people travel in RVs as well. I was going to say normal people, but I definitely don't follow that moniker. So she wanted to do it, and we started following a couple of YouTube channels of people that were living in RVs full time. And I said, hey, you know what? We work from home. We do this. And so we both said, why don't we give this a shot? And we checked the value on our house in Florida, and it had actually gone up, which was better than our previous house in New York. And so we started pricing things out, and we realized we could sell our house, buy a truck, buy an RV, and give it a shot. And so we did. We put the house on the market, sold it. And there's a lot of stories here that I could go deep into the weeds on, but really cool family that is a friend of my in-laws up in New York ended up that they were selling their RV. My mother-in-law was really excited that we should come and see it. And I was more on the side of, you know, we've looked at a lot of RVs. The chances that this RV is going to have the things we want is very slim. Like, I was trying to tone down her expectations. And then we went and looked at this fifth wheel RV, and it had the fireplace that Kaylin wanted. It had the king size bed that I wanted. And it had the fact that it wasn't 40 feet long. It was 33 feet, which is what we both wanted, something that was a little bit more manageable. And the price was beyond what we were expecting, as far as it was very inexpensive. And so that's what we did. We bought it last November, spent till March. It was in good shape to begin with. It's just that all RVs are built as if they were built in the 80s, even though they were built in the 2000s. The decor, I don't know why. They haven't changed their decor. You walk into an RV, they all look the same. They look like they were built in 1985. And so we did a lot of updating, just painting cabinets, putting backsplashes up, and redoing some of the lighting. We actually added some solar panels and some batteries. So that took several months, but now we're actually on the road. And I'm actually looking forward to, one of the things I'm looking forward to is being able to meet gamers across the country. I'm going to kick off something on Art of Board Gaming here in the next couple months, where I put a survey out there saying, hey, I'd love to game with you. Let me know where you game. Is there a game night that you guys, that people have that we might be traveling through? Who's a contact person that I could contact to find out? Because I would love to meet some of the people that I chat with online and just sit down and game with people, because I think the community of being able to do that would just be awesome. So yeah, right now we're in Oklahoma. Didn't think we'd be in Oklahoma for as long as we have been, but there's some beautiful country out here. And then we're going to go down to Dallas and then spend the rest of the summer up in the Pacific Northwest. I'm already planning on meeting with Spencer and Laura from the Married with Board Games podcast. And there was a guy that I played games with online as well that is also in the Dallas area. So I'm hoping to meet up with him.
Yeah, Dallas is a good area. Dennis Hoyle from Bellwether Games is down in that greater area too. So yeah, there's a lot going on down in Dallas.
So yeah, I'm kind of using that as the impetus for the kickoff. Once I get through there, that's when I'm just going to put some feelers out there to find other people across the country who might be interested in meeting for a game night somewhere.
Sweet.
So, Joe, what's it been like trying to continue to play board games while you're living in an RV? There's not a lot of storage. There's not a lot of working space.
So
I assume you don't limit yourself to just travel games, which we might do.
No, definitely not. And so as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, my wife is not an avid gamer. However, she will play some games with me. She likes Splendor, King Domino. Skip Bo is just one of her favorites that we'll sit down and play, and there's plenty of space for things like that. So a lot of two-player games, a lot of things that don't take a lot of table space are no problems in an RV. But like you said, space for storage is an issue. Now I have never had a huge collection. I think it's topped out around 60, 65 games. But when we started to get ready for this RV trip, I knew it was something that I was going to have to pare down significantly. And I've done two things. One, I've pared down a lot of my games. Now, interestingly enough, I do have the legendary box of Scythe with us in the RV, which is kind of the...
and that's it.
it's kind of the opposite.
That's your pillow at night.
Yeah, it's kind of the opposite of good storage, but there's a kind of a backstory to that. We had a under-the-bed storage that was about 3 inches deep, and I could tell there was a lot of space beneath that, so I removed the plywood and saw that there was space beneath it that could be maximized. So I built a frame that would hold 4 totes. So I increased our storage capacity under there quite a lot. So my deal was, when I showed Kaylin my grand plan, I was like, can I have 2 of these totes for board games?
All right.
So that was the deal. So one of those totes is Scythe plus a couple other small games. Then the other one is, and this is what I've done, and one of the posts that will be coming on Art of Board Gaming eventually when the second season, as I'm calling it, reboots, is how to maximize space. Because there's a lot of people that live in small apartments, that live in different types of situations. And I have defaced several of my board game boxes. So Splendor is now the size of a football card deck holder, like the box that you'd have football cards in.
Yep.
Like, I just cut it right down and folded it up and made it a much smaller box. I did that with, I think, about 4 or 5 games that they now take up. Oh, Seven Wonders is another one that is it's the same width as the player boards, and just had to fold up the rule book to put it in there. So there's a lot of ways you can reduce the space. But then the other thing is, I was just honest with myself with if I'm at an RV park or somewhere where I might be having an RV game night or there might be a social, what games are actually going to be the ones that I pull out and play, that I'm able to teach people easily. And so that was kind of, size was number one, and then teachability was my number two criteria for what games I brought. Because I figured when I'm meeting up with people like, you know, the Family Gamers up in Massachusetts or Spencer and Laura, that they're going to have their own extensive game collections that I can mooch off of while I'm there.
Mm-hmm. That is true, and we will happily let you mooch.
Candyland it is. Candyland did not make the cut. It is not in the RV. I do have a few games.
Candyland is not in our house.
Yeah, I was good. Candyland is only an option if you need something to keep your hands warm.
Yeah. I like it. Same with Monopoly.
All right, well, why don't we wrap it up with this last question? So you are traveling the lower 48 states in an RV, and you've got a couple of board games with you. Not a lot. Do you have any, like flat Stanley goals where you're going to play a board game in a certain place or any goofy stuff like that? Cause you've had some really great pictures on Facebook of like ridiculous things,
you know what?
And so you've got a healthy sense of humor there.
You know what? I did not have one, but now I'm going to have one. So that's going to have to become an Instagram thing that I need to come up with. I like the idea.
You know what would be amazing? That game Parks that was on Kickstarter like a month ago, if you could get a copy of that and take a picture of you playing that game in as many national parks as possible.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
I have Trekking the National Parks. I'm not sure if that's the one you're talking about.
No, it's a game called Parks.
Okay.
By Keymaster Games. And let's see, it's super mega fulfilling. A game about exploring and discovering the U.S. national parks.
If that is not what I do, stay tuned to Instagram, because there will be something, because that is, I can't believe I haven't come up with that, an idea for that, but that is a great idea.
Well played, Andrew. Well played.
See, we give and take.
Otherwise, my goal was to just meet as many people and find as many interesting stories from people as I could across the country. I've attended one small convention. Sure. I don't know that I'm going to be attending many conventions throughout this year, because that would mean leaving my wife at the RV while I go somewhere. So I'm going to be dubbing this trip once I get the board gaming end of it up and running. I'm going to be dubbing it Art of Board Gaming Con, and it's going to be something that continues on throughout the year. But
I mean, if you come to the right place, like Philadelphia is a pretty historic town.
It is.
So
it
there's lots of things that your wife can explore while we're nerding out in the Philadelphia Convention Center.
And while the weather was actually pretty decent this last year for PAX Unplugged, even though it's November.
Yeah, just saying.
The year before was not so great.
Yes.
So don't count on that.
November is a, ready for this, roll of the dice when it comes to weather in Philadelphia. And there's, unfortunately, there's very little ways to mitigate it.
The right clothing.
Yes,
is
true.
How you mitigate it.
Very true.
All right. Well, I mean, Joe, thanks so much for telling us a little bit about Art of Board Gaming and just like life in general and this crazy RV open roading trip that you are on. Where can people check out? I mean, I guess it's just artofboardgaming.com for that. But where can people find out more about this whole RV thing?
Sure. So the RV thing, you can follow us on Instagram at Open Roading. You can follow us on YouTube if you want to see videos. That's YouTube/OpenRoading. If you want to chat with me directly, best place is Twitter, which is at AO Board Gaming, because I made this cool Art of Board Gaming title and then realized it was too long for Twitter. And I had already registered the domain name and all that stuff. So Twitter is AO Board Gaming.
Hey.
AO.
Twitter's great about those guys.
Hey, that's exactly what it is. AO Board Gaming.
AO.
So, honey, what about us? How can you get a hold of us?
Well, you can find us on all of the social media at Family Gamers AA.
For Andrew and Anitra.
If you want to talk about this on our community, you can go to thefamilygamers.com/community. It'll bring you right to our Facebook community. It's literally growing every day. You can always email us. You can email me, Andrew, at thefamilygamers.com.
or anitra@thefamilygamers.com, or use the contact form on our website.
Mm-hmm. Thefamilygamers.com/contact. That emails both of us at the same time in case you want to be efficient.
And you should totally sign up for their newsletter. One of my favorite ones.
Do you like the newsletter? I love it. I actually really genuinely like the newsletter. Yeah.
I do like the newsletter. So, if you look at your open rates, for me, it's 100%. I'm quite sure.
So. You like us. You really like us. And since you like us, you should subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever else that you subscribe to podcasts.
That's right. You can find us on TuneIn, which means you can talk to your Amazon smart speaker or other smart speaker and say, insert magic keyword that I'm not going to say right now for obvious reasons here, play the Family Gamers podcast.
Last but not least, you can, as always, check out our pod pledge, thefamilygamers.com/podpledge, just like Joe has done.
Yes.
That's right. Many gamers don't help their favorite podcast. Joe helps his favorite. Be like Joe.
Be like Joe.
Once again, one of the ways to be like me, but there are so many to not be like me.
All right, Joe, is there anything else you want to tell our listeners today?
I don't think so. Actually, there is one thing. If you have kids, play games with your kids.